Good morning, Summit. There was one year that our family was camping on Lake Erie, and I went for a run early one morning, and I found this really cool trail that had a boardwalk that was at the top of these really high dunes. And the trail looked out over this like enormous beach and the lake and everything down below. And you know those runs where you feel like you could just run forever. And I got to a point on the trail where I had an option to continue back along the top, or I could head down the dune and run back across the beach. And I thought how beautiful it looked down there, that still water and the sand. And so I headed down this enormous dune. And as we know, heading downhill can always be a good time, but then when we hit the bottom, it usually isn't all that it's cracked up to be. And I hit the heat, and the sand was thick, and the distance back suddenly now seemed extremely long, right? And I needed all my strength just to carry me and run across sand, right? My body started to hurt. And then, you know, your mind starts to get discouraged. And I started to sort of stumble and got tired and felt very depleted. And I wanted that altitude back, right? That experience where there was ease and height, not this lower experience of difficulty and struggle. And I wonder, how many times in our lives do we choose that downhill, difficult experience over that expense of strength and beauty and the high life, right? In some ways, this can be a picture of the life that Christ wants for us, right? The life that he has in mind. He doesn't get tired out. Right? Jesus doesn't need to catch his breath. He says, in me there is fresh strength for the weary. Right? In me, Jesus says, is a higher experience. It's available and it's ready and it's waiting. He is ready and available and waiting. Right? And it's where strength and peace and beauty and endurance abound. Right? And then there's that lower experience where we will often try to do it, that plodding experience, that worldly experience that's rich with difficulty and ache and striving and work. Right? But Jesus, he invites us to ascend with him, right, to this highest of heights. Right? In him we can soar above sin. We can be lifted and carried through suffering. We can be raised to heavenly places, places like joy and gentleness and holiness. He says, in me, by my spirit, you can soar like eagles. Right? What does that spirit-empowered life really look like? Right? And what kinds of things stop us from living there in the fullness of God? And how do we live filled full? That's what we want to look at today, the spirit-empowered life. So before we go there, let's pray together. Jesus, we thank you for this morning, and we catch our breath and breathe you in and empty ourselves out, those things that distract us and take us away from your goodness. We long for you this morning, Jesus. We thank you for this beautiful opportunity to come together and sit under your word. We are hungry for it, so Jesus, show us. Spirit, reveal yourself to us. We are longing for you this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in our sermon series, we're exploring the Christian life that goes deep, that soars high, that spreads wide. It is to be Christ-centered and Spirit-empowered and mission-focused. Right? And last week, we learned about depth, that this is the Christ-centered life, right? The consecrated life. It is a life that's devoted entirely to God, and it's centered on Jesus, right? And we learn that loving God like that means that we have to do away with our ideas and our attitudes and the things within us that are opposite to the way that God does and is. It is to die to self, right? It is to put away or cease living the self life. And it isn't easy. It goes very deep, right? But we also learn that there is so much more, right? And when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and when we decide to do away with those things that aren't like God's way of doing things, when we repent and we turn to God, right? He brings into us new life, right? And we receive his Holy Spirit into our hearts, that it is out of the Christ-centered life that we are Spirit-empowered, right? There is fullness in the Spirit-empowered life. And I want to talk about three characteristics, okay? The first one is, in the Spirit-empowered life, it is divine life. It is life that is fueled and supplied by the Holy Spirit of God, right? The third person of the Holy Trinity. There is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is the indwelling life of Christ within us, present and abiding in us. And it's a heavenly gift from God, right? Peter tells us so in Acts 2:38. He said, "You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Right? It's not anything that we can earn or achieve. It is a gift from God, and it's only possible by God himself. And it is for us to accept and to receive and to believe and to take hold of it. It is divine life that comes to reside within us, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, right? He enters into us in his fullness, in his glory, and he comes in to our consecrated hearts, and he stretches out, and he fills us up, and he lives in us and lives out, right? This is the impartation of divine life, right? He breathes into us his peace, right? The King of Kings, Jesus, in us, he sheds himself into our hearts, his love into our hearts. This is divine life through his Spirit in us, the fullness of his resurrected life into our body. He energizes us with strength, right? This is supernatural. This is from the heavenlies. This is divine life. And the Spirit-empowered life is also the sanctified life, right? The Spirit-empowered life is sanctified. It means to be separate from sin and dedicated to God, right? To receive the Spirit of holiness is to be delivered from the power of sin. We turn our backs on a corrupt world or our corrupt nature, right? And instead, we're dedicated to Jesus. It is us who no longer live, but Christ in us who lives. Right? Remember in the Old Testament when God moved the Israelites into the Promised Land and they had to cross the Jordan River. That's a picture of this. Right? They went from one side, their old rebellious self, and they went through the Jordan to the other side, the promised life. That Jordan separated them from their old life of sin and their new life in the Promised Land devoted to God. Right? And what the Spirit does is shows us, reveals to us these parts of us that aren't like him. Right? He shows us too to get rid of those parts and instead replace them with him. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24 tells us, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, your soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." The one who calls you to it is faithful. He will do it. right? This is that God who makes everything holy and whole is making us holy and whole, right, in our spirit and our soul and our bodies. And this is not about restoring our human condition, right? It's not perfecting our human character in any way. We don't imitate Jesus, right? This is the Spirit himself in us imparting his holy life. It's not improving the life that we have of self. Instead, it's new life, and it's separate from the old life. And this new life, it has nothing in common with that old nature. Right? This is from heavenly origins. This is the indwelling presence of God sanctifying us entirely from glory to glory to glory. Right? The Spirit of Christ reveals himself to us as he occupies us and abides in us and us in him. And we receive the thoughts of Jesus. We receive Jesus' faith. We receive his kindness. We receive his humility, his love, his will, his surrender, his goodness, his perspective, all of it. This is the fullness of Jesus in us, right? And it happens in us distinctly, right? We receive him at conversion. When we turn to him, it happens distinctly all at once in fullness, right? He is completely available to us and accessible to us. But it's important to know, too, that it also happens progressively, right? It's a process that happens in us, and it happens over time. And yes, his power and his presence are completely available to us, but the fullness of Christ within us isn't fully realized, right? Simpson describes it this way. He says, the acorn in itself is complete in its parts as the oak of 1,000 years, right? But it's not fully developed. And so is the soul who receives Jesus, right? Ongoingly, we are subject to the Spirit's divine influence within us, his sustaining love and his care, and he grows us in our experience of Jesus, in our knowledge of Jesus. Right, his knowledge of himself in us. The Spirit-empowered life is a sanctified life. Right, and the Spirit-empowered life is divine, and it is sanctified, but it is also all-sufficient. Right, everything that we could ever need has been given to us personally and intimately, right, by experiencing and knowing the one who invites us to him. Right? He's our supply of everything that we could ever need. Acts 1:8 tells us that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. This is the all-sufficiency of Christ. No other name is higher. We sung about that. Right? He is above all things. He is all-knowing. He is everywhere. He is all-powerful. In Jesus, all things are possible. And that means to us that him in us, there is no limit to the resources available to us. Right? He can supply to us every moment, every thought, every action, every decision. Right, he gives, and he gives his power. He gives it for healing. He gives it for our faith. He gives it that we would endure, suffering, or we would endure trials. His power is available for miracles. His power is for us to love. It is power to serve with the gifts that he gives. It is his fullness flowing into us that is our power for holy living. It is his power, his fullness, him in us, right? It is flowing in and out of us, power for service in his kingdom. Right? This is the sufficiency that we see demonstrated in his life. All right, when we read about him in our Bibles, when Jesus was here doing earthly ministry, we see that he received the Spirit at his baptism. And then we see his union with the Spirit. We see his communion with him. We see his partnership with him. Right? In everything that Jesus felt or said or did or went, right? In Christ's life, we see it. We see patience and mercy and grace and wonders and knowledge and healing and wisdom and endurance. It's all of it, and it is all the same for us today in the power of the Spirit in us and on us and through us. We have this very same limitless possibility in Jesus, the one that we see in his life. It is available for us today. Right? And this is an all-sufficient, abundant power. It's just incredible. And the Spirit-empowered life is all-sufficient. It is divine, it is sanctified, and it is all-sufficient. Right? It's high, and it's holy, and it's power. But there can sometimes be things that get in our way of living in it. Right? We can get in our way of living in the fullness and the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit. Right? Our decisions, our actions, we can have an impact on our lives, on our experiences every day, our relationships, our conversations. We can make an impact. Right? We can choose to live that lower experience. And there can be hindrances. We can interfere with what God is trying to do. Sometimes even stop what God is up to. And there's three ways that we can do that. The first way is by quenching the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 tells us, do not quench the Spirit. Right? Can you think of a time in your own life where you may have done this? This is to stifle or to suppress or even disobey what the Spirit was telling you to do. And I know I've done it. Okay. In the Bible, we see Jonah do it, and he runs in the opposite direction of where God was calling him to go. Or in the life of Saul, when God says, destroy everything, and he doesn't. He holds back some. It is to quench the Spirit. Those times when we entertain the question, did God really say that? Did God really want me to do that? I can't do that. Right? We're suppressing his voice. Right? Or how about those times when we're shy or afraid even of what he's moving us to do? Sometimes even procrastinate. Sometimes we can hesitate. We don't act when he calls us to act in that moment. Right? There's sometimes too when we might choose rigidity. Instead of freedom, right, where we might prefer our comfort over his suggestion of risk, right? Things like, I don't want to put my hands up during worship. That's going to look weird. Or, no, I don't want to pray for that person at work. I could get fired for praying for somebody at work. Right? But we can hinder what God is doing when we quench the Spirit. Or stifle him. Another hindrance that we can do is we can grieve the Spirit. Ephesians 4:30 tells us, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Right? We aren't to bring sorrow to him by the way that we live. Right? We're not to give him a heavy heart by the way that we act or the things that we say. God is patient, and he is gentle with us. He doesn't blow his top when we make mistakes or get angry at us, but we do grieve him by those things, right? When we make a bad call, when we hesitate, when we procrastinate those things, right? He hurts. He He aches, he endures it, he grieves. Right? What if we choose anger or bitterness over forgiveness? He grieves. Right? Or if we hold back and we think of ourselves instead of him and him first, he grieves. Right? Or those times where we're rebellious, where we don't want to listen to him and we just ignore him. He grieves. How about times we doubt him? We don't believe his promises or his goodness for us. Right? We doubt him. We look at our circumstances and we fall a little short. He grieves. He grieves. And we can hinder what he's trying to do when we grieve him. Another hindrance is resisting him. In Acts 7, Stephen is addressing the Sanhedrin, and he talks to them about resisting God. The Message translation says it this way. And you continue so bullheaded, calluses on your hearts, flaps on your ears, deliberately ignoring the Holy Spirit, just like your ancestors. Right? And when we resist the Spirit, we are rejecting Jesus. It's what it is. Right? When we just ignore those convictions that we sense, we are denying the Spirit. When we shake off or dismiss where God is leading us to, we turn them down. Right? And resisting the Spirit is done, it's done willfully, it's done decidedly. It's a choice to ignore him. And we hinder the Spirit, right? We hinder the work in our own life. We hinder what he's doing in other people's lives when we just stop him short and resist him. So if we want to experience the Spirit's fullness, if we want the Spirit-empowered life, we cannot quench Nor can we grieve or resist what he is doing, what he's saying, how he's convicting us, how he's moving us, right? We lose so much in these forgotten convictions or these misplaced affections or these self-preserving solutions that we come up with or these ignored promptings, right? Instead, we have this opportunity to claim the fullness of all that God is offering us in the Spirit through our lives. This is Jesus. Jesus welcomed and trusted and communed with. It's Jesus, right, conquering and victorious and present for every need in every day, in every circumstance, in every moment. This is Jesus. Jesus, whom without him we can do nothing, and in him we can do all things. Right? So if we want to experience Jesus in his fullness, in the Spirit-empowered life, how do we do that? How do we experience the fullness of Christ in the Spirit-empowered life? Well, Simpson wrote a book, The Larger Christian Life. It's awesome. And it talks about a number of different conditions for being filled. And one of the things that we need to do is seek him. Right? The first thing that we need to do is seek God. We must long for him. We must desire him. We must yearn for him. Matthew 5:6 tells us, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." God wants to be with us to reveal himself to us. Right? So when we're hungry for him, he meets us and he fills us. And seeking God means that we are proactively organizing our lives and our days and our thoughts around him. right? We're eager to connect with him, to be with him. We're passionate about knowing him, and through conversation with him, through prayer or through his word, right? We're zealous about hearing from him the things that he would say, speaking to him in prayer, finding those times. Rob Reamer says, "I am resolved to be ever grateful for whatever God gives, but never satisfied. I am always seeking him for more of himself." If we want him, he will pour water on thirsty ground. But we need to seek him. So let me ask you, does your life reflect hunger for God? Right, are you thirsty for more Jesus, more of him? How well do we proactively seek the Spirit for our decisions, for our purchases, for the words that we say, for our lives? If we want to experience the fullness of the Spirit-empowered life, we must seek him. So to experience the fullness of the Spirit-empowered life, we must also come empty. Right? In order to be filled, we must come with the capacity to be filled. Right? In Psalm 81:10, it tells us, "I am the Lord your God, open wide your mouth, and I will fill it." Right? And it's like when we were kids and we were playing on the beach and we would dig a really big hole and we would watch the lower that we got into that hole, the water would start to rise and the hole would be filled in. We must clear out. We must empty our minds, our hearts, our lives, that we would make room for Jesus. Right? We have to make room for his Spirit to occupy us. Right? The Spirit is our source with streams of grace available for us. But Jesus can only fill up what we give him capacity to fill up. Right? The greater that we yield our life, the more room that he has to fill, the deeper that we go, the greater the possibilities that we have for his inworking and his overflow in and through our lives. Right? It's like what Paul said in 2 Corinthians when he says, "To have nothing and yet possess everything." Right? And it's not in us. Ultimately, it's not in anything that we have or anything that we can do. Zechariah 4:6 reminds us it's not by might or by power. It is by his Spirit. So how would you describe your current capacity these days? Are you open wide that he might fill you? Right? Or is there a bunch of old junk that could be cleared out? To experience the fullness of the Spirit-empowered life, we must be empty. And to experience the fullness of the Spirit-empowered life, we also must ask him for it. Right? We need to ask the Spirit for more of himself. The Lord tells us that what we ask for, we will receive. Jesus says in Luke 11:13, "How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Right? God is ready to give to all who ask, and he is ready to give in abundance. Right? John 3:34 tells us that he gives the Spirit without measure. This is limitless. Right? He's ready to freely give of himself repeatedly and ongoingly. There are fresh encounters for us all the time. And sometimes we can treat our spiritual life like our cars, like we fill up and then we run low and we go back and we fill up and we run low again. But that's not the intention. The spirit-empowered life is in every moment experience. It is in every decision, every word, every action, right? We have Jesus within us perfectly, fully, powerfully for everything that we ever do or think or say. Right? When you think about where those battles are lost in our lives, it's in those moments. Right? Those in-between moments when we're called to respond in a certain way. And in that moment, he is available to us in fullness. And the only thing that we need to do, we have to pause long enough to just ask him for more of himself. That's it. Right? He wants to fill us continually. Right? Think about the apostles in the early church. Right? Remember Jesus appeared to them, and in John 20, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Right? But then shortly thereafter, he tells them, wait for the gift that my Father promises, the Holy Spirit. Right? He wanted to fill them again. He wants to fill continuously. Right? So then we see them together. In Acts 2, they're together, they're praying, they're seeking God, and they're waiting for the fulfillment of the gift that Jesus promised them. And then a mighty wind, it fills up the room, and then it fills up them. Right? He wanted to fill them again. He wants to fill continuously. We see them again in Acts 4 when Peter was about to deliver a sermon. What happens? He prays and he receives again. He receives the Spirit and he receives boldness. God wants to give and give and give of his Spirit and fill and fill and fill of his Spirit that we would have him continuously, always abiding in him in every way, that we would live in sustaining fullness with the life of Christ within us, that he would be our source, right? And that we would keep on asking, that we would keep on knocking, that we would keep on seeking, that he would pour out his Spirit on us. He said in Ezekiel 39, "I will not hide my face. I pour out my Spirit." We just need to ask. Do we seek Jesus continually in our own lives? Do we ask for more and more and more of him in our every moment? Right? To experience the fullness that is available to us in Christ in the Spirit-empowered life, we must ask him. And another way that we experience the fullness in the Spirit-empowered life is that we must believe him. Right? We must believe God for it to take hold of or to claim the fullness of Christ in us in faith. Right? Galatians 3:2 says, "Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard?" Right? We receive the Spirit's power by believing, by trusting God. Right? It's a matter of trust that he dwells within us. Right? And if you think about it, how many times has your perceived fullness been hijacked by what we could feel or what we see or potentially what we have heard? Right, but the fullness of Christ is not about our feelings. Right? The way we feel sometimes might be depleted or lonely, or maybe our feelings will try and convince us that God isn't actually there or he's not for us. But faith is not rooted in our feelings. Our feelings will always change. Our faith is rooted in the constancy, the faithfulness, the sameness of the Spirit. It's God's unchanging nature that our faith is rooted in. right? And it can't also be dependent on what we see, right? Sometimes the way that we see things can be so limited. It's just this momentary perspective. It's just our perspective, right? We can't see the whole picture. Our belief, our claiming the fullness of Christ cannot be in what we see. It is the opposite, right? Our faith is rooted in what we cannot see. Our hope is in Him, right? We walk by Him. We are filled with Him. Faith is in the unseen. And it isn't either about what we hear. Very often we're going to get a bad report. Right, and very often those reports, right, they try and convince us of something otherwise, that we can't trust God. I think about the Israelites when they were scoping out the promised land and they came back and they started to give a bad report, and Joshua and Caleb were like, "No, don't you remember the size of those grapes? Don't you remember the bounty that is there? Don't you remember the promise of God said that it is ours?" A bad report can carry us away. Right? God is close and intimate and available, whether we feel it or see it or hear it. Right? He is here. He is here now. He is on the throne of our hearts. His power is close at hand to us, and in faith, we claim Christ. We claim Him in us. We claim Him for us. We claim ourselves in Him, and we trust Him, and we count on Him, because He understands us, right? And He's all sufficient, right, for every crisis, and He will respond to every need. Right, the fullness and the blessings of the indwelling Christ, they're received in faith. Do you trust Him? Like, truly, fully, that He's with you, that His intention is for you. Right, even when it feels bad, even when it looks bad and seems bad, do you trust Him? How full is your faith these days? All right, we will experience the fullness that is available to us in Christ when we believe. So lastly, we experience the fullness of the Spirit-empowered life when we obey. Acts 5:32 says, "We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, who is given by God to those who obey Him." Right? Holiness will not be this spontaneous response that will come out of us instinctively. Right? That's not our nature. God's way often runs opposite to the way that we think. So we have to lean in to the Holy Spirit, right? And we trust His direction. And we make decisions and act according to His will. And He will increase and we will decrease. Right? As the Spirit prompts us, convicts us, speaks to us, right? When we move in His way, we draw up from Him for every thought and every action that we do, every response that we give, right? Every feeling that we have even. It's like a fountain, right? We draw up like from a source to overflowing. And when we commit our way to Him, He is all-knowing, right? And like children, we need His instruction and we do it. We carry out His will. And we put it into practice, right? We do it again, and then we do it again, right? And we follow Him where He leads us, and we keep in step to where He is guiding us, and we're responsive to His voice. When He speaks, we do. Right? When we spend time in prayer or we're reading His word and we understand His will for our life, and then we put these things into action, right? That's the piece we do, and we follow through, and we carry out. Right? We pay attention to how he counsels us and how he commands us. Because God doesn't speak hastily or unnecessarily. Right? He's deliberate, and every lesson that he has for us is life. So, yes, the Spirit can come as a force, but also as a gentle whisper. And so to hear from him, it means that we'll often need quiet or stillness to hear his voice. We may need rest, space to hear. And then when we hear from him, we don't compromise, we don't delay, we don't neglect what he says. We do the will of the Lord, right? And in this, we will experience the fullness of the Spirit-empowered life, right? When we obey. So is there something in your own life that God has been calling you to do? Right? Is the Holy Spirit waiting on you to respond? Because we will experience the fullness of what Christ has for us when we obey. So the fullness of the Spirit-empowered life is waiting for us. The Spirit of Jesus within us, he's waiting for us. Right? We have to seek, though. We have to want him. We have to be empty. We have to have capacity for him to fill us. We have to ask, right? We need to be bold. We have to come again and again and again and again, right? We want more of him and more of him. We have to believe. We have to take hold of Christ in us in faith, right? And we have to obey. We actually have to do what he calls us to do. And this is fullness, right? Could you imagine Summit full of the Spirit and gifts in full use and fruit abundant and people witnessing and our prayer plentiful and miracles and healings all overflowing, that we would be a church both individually and all together, that in the knowing of and experiencing Jesus, his power and his presence within us, that we would know him and that he would be moving and that we would be moving and that our lives would be dynamic and risky and radical, not sleepy, not static, not ordinary. But that is God's people, and in partnership with Christ in us, that we would be on fire to do what God calls us to do, and that we would be a people who are annihilating the life of comfort and security, but instead choosing a life that is trust and faith and walking into unknown possibility that only exists in God, that we would be a people that would revolt against ordinary, right? That we would rise in Christ to extraordinary, right? That we would be in him and that he would be in us and that we would know and that we would experience him, his victory, his overcoming, his resurrection life, his defeat of sin and darkness and Satan and hell, that we would be seeking more of him and asking for more of him and how he longs to pour out his Spirit on his sons and daughters, that we would receive him, that we would be hungry and ready and open, that his overwhelming presence and his overwhelming power would be showers of blessings in us and through us, that there would be floods on dry ground. Could you imagine these heights? He's not waiting for perfection. He is here now, and he is ready in this moment. So Summit, may May we head deep that we would rise to the heights. Right, that we would soar in the fullness of His Holy Spirit into His incredible heights. May we be Spirit-empowered and filled full of the love of Jesus. Let's pray. Jesus, it's really hard for us to take in the bounty and the beauty of your life, the holiness of who you are, and that you are for us, taking us from glory to glory to glory, and that in every moment you are sufficient for us in every way. We praise you. And we confess those times where you have spoken to us and we didn't do anything about it. Where we passed by opportunities that you were ready to bless us with, or those times that we didn't bring you into our moments. Help us, Jesus, that we never hinder you in us and the work that you want to do in the lives of the people around us. And God, would you make us a people hungry for you, that we wouldn't be satisfied, and that we would empty ourselves and empty ourselves again, that we would keep making room for more and more and more of you, and that we would be bold, that we would come to you and just ask you for more fresh encounters, that your Spirit would rise up within us and stretch out and fill us, overflowing out of us. And help us in those times that when we can't feel it or we can't see it or we hear things that are different, that we never lose our grip on you, that we claim you for our own and our life in you and you in us. Increase our faith. And increase our move for times where we're held back. God, we want to be a people who are on fire for your will and your way and your kingdom come in our lives, in our homes, in our workplaces, in our communities. God, that you would be glorified. Spirit of the living God, how we love you. Fall afresh, a fresh encounter for us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.